Only 30% of family businesses will make it to the next generation. Will yours? Well, there's a new book out called How to Make Your Family Business Last. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is the author of that book. Her name is Mitzi Perdue. Her father-in-law is the famous Mr. Perdue, Frank Perdue, from the chicken business. But she also not only married into a family business, she herself came from a family business background. So, Mitzi, it's so great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Jerry, what a complete pleasure to be with you.
Sure. And here you are, Harvard-trained. You went to George Washington University for grad school. And not only did you marry into the Perdue family with the chickens and so forth, which was a business that started in 1920 and certainly has gone on from one generation to another generation, but tell us about your own family background tied to the Sheraton hotel chain.
Okay. My family of origin is the Henderson family, and we began in 1890, and that was the forerunner of the Sheraton Hotels. My father was the co-founder of the Sheraton Hotels.
Wow.
So I have a lot of personal experience in seeing how two families have created a culture that keeps the family business in the family, and for that matter, keeps families strong. And I love to share information of how it was done, because something, you know, an accomplishment like that doesn't just happen by accident. There's a lot of thought and effort and knowledge that goes into it.
Sure. And in a day when there are a lot of families, unfortunately, that are breaking down, it's good to have a book like this where you're not only talking about the family businesses, but you're really talking about keeping the family strong in the first place.
Yeah, because, you know, 70% of, as you mentioned earlier, 70% of family businesses aren't going to make it to the next generation.
Wow.
But the biggest cause of why they fall apart is family quarrels or substance abuse. And I love to get into how you prevent both of those.
Sure.
Because, you know, there's a fantastic amount of research that's not widely known in what keeps a family strong.
By the way, you open up with this incredible anecdote about a sister who was so upset at her brother. Both of them apparently inherited $1 billion with a B. And yet the brother, in greed, tried to go after a portion of his sister's inheritance. And so now they're not talking and haven't for a few years. So instead of having a nice family Thanksgiving time, she looks at her family with bitterness. It's tragic.
You know, the tragedy, you can almost, you know, it's amazing to say this, but you can almost put a dollar amount on the tragedy, because she told me, like, a year ago, that, you know, she saw that I was going home to a happy family where we'd celebrate and be with each other and enjoy Thanksgiving. And she told me she would give every penny of her inheritance just to have a family to go home to.
Oh.
And that tells me that family is everything.
Wow.
And that, you know, what good does it do to succeed financially and fail as a family?
Yeah. And this is a lady that inherited $1 billion with a B. That's absolutely fascinating. Okay, so how did you decide, or why did you decide to write this book? There must have been some event that occurred that made you think, oh, I got to write about this.
A whole succession of them, but one that sort of encapsulates it all is, I remember talking with a guy, he was probably in his late 70s, and he owned half a bank. So this man has done just extraordinarily well, but he was on the verge of suicide, or at least he was thinking about it. And why was he thinking about it? Because for all his financial success, it was worth nothing to him, because his legacy was in tatters. His two children had developed an alcohol problem, and he had tried tough love on them, with the result that they no longer speak to him. Mm. And his wife left him. And so now he's, you know, he's made so much money, and yet he's still was telling me that he was thinking of jumping off a bridge. By the way, there is a PS to this story. He didn't do it, but the pain of family breaking up is just, it can permeate every hour of every day. And I thought, both from academic studies and from my own life and observing other families, we know that there are ways that could have prevented the situation of that guy or the woman who would give $1 billion to have the family to go home to. And if you'd let me, I would love to tell some of the academic research, because I think your listeners will I'm just hoping that they will embrace it and find it useful.
Yes. Oh, I tell you what, let's dedicate the rest of the program to it. But first, let me say this, because this is a Christian station, and Jesus said, what does it profit a person if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? So it's kind of along those same lines. But go ahead and tell us about the research. Wax eloquent.
Thank you. But, you know, in fact, the phrase that I just gave, it was in a way a paraphrase of that, because I'm a Christian also. And, you know, the older I get, the more wisdom I realize that you can find in our faith. But Amen. Since we promised to give actual advice, one of the things that we know now, and I don't think we knew it as well 30 years ago, what I'm about to discuss is substance abuse prevention. And there's an organization, it's called the Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, that spent millions of dollars trying to figure out how do we prevent substance abuse, because that just devastates families and it devastates businesses. Well, we know an awful lot about how to prevent it, and, oh, dear listeners, please listen carefully to this because this could change your life. The more meals you have together as a family, the more resistant your kids are going to be to substance abuse. Because, you know, kids want love and affection and belonging from somewhere, and if they don't get it from their family, they may get it from peers who don't have their best interests at heart. And so the more family dinners you can have together, the bigger favor you're doing your family. And then, you know, there's another part to this too, which is research on substance abuse prevention shows that faith is one of the best preventions of substance abuse that there is, because if you have faith, you belong to something bigger. And then, you know, another thing that, oh, as a Christian, this is just so important. A lot of research shows that parent power is much stronger than even the parents know. The research from PASA and other places that I've read about shows...
The research from PASA, what's PASA?
I'm abbreviating. Thank you for catching it. The Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, its short name is PASA, for Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse.
Okay.
But their research shows that when parents let the kids know, don't do this, would be agonized if you do it. And like in my family, I know family members are told doing drugs is something people who don't like themselves or don't respect themselves do. So if you take a stand that it's not okay to try it, that this has much more power than you would ever guess. It has more power than police. It has more power than laws. What really influences kids, even when the parents don't know that it's influencing them, is the parents' attitudes.
So more than the media, more than peers. That is amazing. All right, go on.
Okay, then we're not on substance abuse, although that on what I'm about to describe, but it does play a role in prevention of substance abuse. But we all want high-functioning families, ones where, you know, we love each other, we'd like to be with each other, we support each other. And how do you get to there? And the most interesting thing is, it's almost the same thing as what the Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse says, and that is spend time with your family members. And, you know, we're all busy. I understand that. You know, mom and dad both work. You know, how do you claw back the time to spend time with your kids? And I guess my answer to that is, if you think it's expensive in time to devote mealtime to kids, think how much more expensive in time and energy and blood and treasure it is to cope with a child who's gotten an addiction.
Right.
So it's, you know, it does take effort, but it's worth it. And there's a woman that I admire utterly. Her name is Robin Freivish, and she's at Emory University, and she studies what creates high-functioning families. And interestingly, the more time you spend with your family and the more you know the family stories, the more likely you are to stay in school, to get high grades, to avoid substance abuse, to avoid getting in trouble with the law. All of these things we want for our families, you get much more when you talk with your family members, where you transmit values that you care for. And, you know, I just rejoice for Christian families that do this, because they have such, they've got such a head start in having healthy, strong families.
Yeah, and it's funny too. With this, there's even an economic benefit to all this. Not that that's more of a a derived benefit and so forth. But anyway,
it counts.
Sure, absolutely. What is Robin's last name? The one that the research you just cited.
Her name is Fibish. F-I-B.
F-I-B.
F-I-B as in Victor.
Okay.
So F-I-B. ISH.
Oh, kind of like a five-ish dollar bill-ish. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right. So in the book, you have a lot of practical steps and practical ways really for building family history and learning your history and recording that history and not forgetting it and building family time, having games together. It's really almost, in some ways, it's not just the family business, it's the family that you focus on in this book.
Well, we have a saying in both the Hendersons and the Perdues, that is my marriage family and my birth family, that you need a happy family to have a happy business. When the family is falling apart, the stress on the workers, the damage that it does, say, with the lenders or the just community in general, when a family business is falling apart, it's catastrophic. And I love, in the book, I love to share information, both that I know from my families, but also that I know from studies. I'd love to share, like, checklists and templates and advice, and maybe even most of all, resources. So that, for example, supposing your family is having a really serious quarrel, where do you go to? And I list resources that will help you. Or supposing there's a substance abuse issue, there's just so much knowledge out there, and I've made an attempt to find out issues that families, that predictably families are going to come across.
Sure.
And then each chapter is giving advice on how you can either make the situation better or prevent it from getting bad in the first place.
All right, let me ask you a question. What about situations where there may be some political disagreements, let's say among some of the family members, after contentious campaigns and elections and so forth, there are definitely some conflicts. How can people just say, okay, let's agree to disagree and have a wonderful Thanksgiving, without all the political jokes?
Right. In both my families, they're extreme conservatives, they're extreme liberals. And so how do we get along? Because it really is true. Both families, I would say, are close to split down the middle. So how do we have a happy Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
We have a saying that the relationship is more important than politics and the relationship is more important than money.
Nice.
And that it's the relationship that's to be preserved at all costs. And in some cases, I'm going to admit that in the majority of cases, that means that we make an effort to talk about the things that unite us and not focus on the things that divide us. And then a little piece of wisdom, your odds of talking somebody out of a political view through an argument are almost zero.
Yeah.
I put a lot of effort into studying persuasion and behavioral economics. And although I don't get technical in the book, that's what's behind it. And we know that people don't change their minds because of intellectual arguments. They just don't. So that almost means that unless you can be very gentle and delicate and loving with each other, you're probably better off not discussing it because you're not going to change somebody's mind.
Yeah. Good.
People's
good.
Minds do change, but they don't change because you argue with them.
Sure. Excellent point. By the way, that Ben Franklin says something like that in his autobiography. Okay, we have about 30 seconds left. What would you like to say that hasn't been said?
Well, I would love you to go to Amazon and buy my book. And let me say how Perdue is spelled so you go to the right place, please. Mitzi is M-I-T-Z-I, like Mitzi Gaynor, if anybody remembers her. And Perdue is like chicken because it is chicken, P-E-R-D-U-E. And boy, would I love to have you and would I love to share what I know with you. I think I can save you a lot of pain and grief and maybe increase your happiness.
And I thought I saw a website for the book itself. Am I wrong?
If people want to buy it in quantity, like for Christmas presents, and I've gotten orders for 20 and 50, and I even have one for 500.
Wow.
For people who want to give it out to friends, go to my website, which is mitzipurdue.com.
MITZIPERDUE. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
It was a joy.
All right. You too.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.